week long, prayed about them, waited on the Lord, and didn't really feel any specific direction about all of them. And I don't, you know, sometimes you can look at things, you may hear people talk about things in Scripture, and you're like, man, that's so simple. You really just put that together? You really just made that connect? You really just got that revelation? I mean, I've been reading that for years, and I saw that 20 years ago. Well, forgive us. Some of us rely a little bit more on the Lord and have a few less brains than the rest of you, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we're missing something. But I truly believe that the Lord sometimes brings things together for you, and he helps you to understand things. But the first scripture that we're going to read today is what he brought to me on Tuesday. And then later in the week, dropped the second set of scriptures that we're going to read. And I was trying to figure out how, you know, I didn't feel like they were at all connected until I was laying in bed last night. My wife and I were talking about a situation. She began to read some scriptures to me from her phone. It was like it hit me that these scriptures, the Lord had tied them together for me. And so between 11:30 last night and now, I've just been fellowshipping the Lord and letting him talk to me about this subject. The world that we live in today has changed so much in the sense of how people get to communicate their thoughts and ideas. You know, it was back in my childhood, the early 80s, mid 80s. I guess my childhood was really late 80s, early 90s. It was very difficult because there weren't a lot of mediums to get information out. And so you didn't hear about a lot of stuff. And actually, we became even more cut off up here in the Northwest because we're so far removed from the rest of the country. Information really took a while to travel over the Rockies. And so there were different things that transpired, different ideas, different ideologies that began to develop in different parts of the country, even the world, that never really migrated. We never really heard about them in the Northwest until it was such an old thing. You know, you'd hear about, you know, something transpiring, some new doctrine, something, and you're just like, you know, oh, did you hear about this? You're like, yeah, that happened 2 years ago. And you're like, wow, you know. But then with the invention of all these technological devices, electronics, social media mediums, you know, now you can literally get a thought right now. Something could come to you right now and you could tweet it in the next like 10 seconds and it's like, it can go viral. You know, you can hashtag something and literally just thousands of people can grab onto what you're saying because maybe they're following another hashtag. I mean, there's just all this information now that's at our fingertips. And so it gives people the ability to propagate their craziness or their lack of truth. It gives people this medium, that gives people this voice that wasn't there even 10 years ago. I mean, I think the first social media site I became a part of was a site called Everyone's Connected. And I look back on that now, I mean, it was so archaic. But that was it. And then it kind of migrated to MySpace, and then it went from MySpace to Facebook. And now, I mean, it's like, what isn't there? There's everything. There's Snapchat. There's, you know, I mean, it's unending. You can literally spend your whole life just migrating between apps and opening social media sites and involving yourself. And then there's online gaming now, and there's all this stuff. So there's all these voices, and people have this ability to share their voice. They have this ability to share their ideas now. And so, you know, whereas it used to be you read your Bible, you heard the preacher preach, now you can get all these new revelations, and there's people that have all these new revelations. All these people that have all these new liberations, and they're sharing them. They're tweeting. They're live tweeting them. What's it? You can Periscope. You can even live broadcast your thoughts to as many people who want to click on it and watch live, or even go back and watch it after the fact after you're done Periscoping. I mean, there's just, you getting the picture here? It's a different day. I remember as a kid, I'm going to shift gears here for a second. We're coming back to that. Just hang with me for a little bit. I remember as a kid, many of you have heard me talk about my life raising animals of many different kinds. But one of the things that's never, ever left me that came back to me as I read the scripture we're going to read here in a few minutes in Isaiah chapter 1 was the almost, I don't want to call it the common sense, but a lot of animals are just downright stupid. I don't know how else to say it. You may think your animal's really smart, but there's a lot of animals that are just downright dumb. You can't ever really trust an animal either. I don't know if anybody's ever figured that out. Like, I don't understand these people that, like, they, like, try to tame a tiger, and then they got, like, a mountain lion for a pet. I'm like, are you crazy? You let that thing in your house? People have pythons in their house, you know? I mean, like, oh, it's docile. Yeah, right. It's a wild animal. There's somewhere in its DNA, there's a wild animal that's waiting to come out, that's waiting to break out. You know, why would you want a real wolf? Why would you want to capture a real wolf and make it your dog? Husky, make it your dog, your pet. Why would you do that? Yeah, my wife and I were talking the other day about pets, and Hadley and I were at a friend of mine's house, and his dog was behind this big 6-foot-tall wood fence, and we went walking by, and of course, he came unleashed as we walked by, and boy, freaked Hadley out. Felt bad for her. But I told her, I said, you know, he had told me, he said, when you get to the house, I may not be there, but he said, my dog's in the fence, just open the gate and go in. He says, he's crazy, but friendly. That does not, that does not make me feel very comfortable. Crazy, but friendly. I told her, I said, you just don't ever know how a dog's going to react when its owner's gone and you're entering its territory and it knows its owner's gone. I just don't trust it. I'm sorry if you think your dog had never heard a fly. It's like people, I go places and people got these Rottweilers or just Dobermans and they're coming at you. Roo, 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 roo. They're like, oh, don't worry. He's never bit anybody. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm going on the other side of the fence. I'm going to put a fence between me and this Rott. My boss, the boss in Oregon, used to tell me that all the time. He says, yeah, that dog's never bit anybody. And he told me one day he did go through the plate glass window in my front room and take the mailman out. Oh, yeah, just small detail. And you wonder why I don't want him sleeping under my desk. But, as smart as people, I was listening to someone talk the other day about horses, and they've now figured out there's like 50 or 60 pressure points on a horse where you can make a horse do anything you want it to do. But they're still very simple-minded animals. You can't trust them. They're not trustworthy. You just don't ever know when they're going to let you down, when they may lash out. But there's one thing that animals have figured out, and it's that they know who their owner is. They know who feeds them. They know your voice. They know your actions. They can even figure out patterns of when you wake up in the morning. They figure out when they're going to get fed. You feed them at the same. You only got to do that for a week or two. You feed them at the same time every day, and pretty soon they're sitting at the bowl. It didn't matter where our horses were on the place, whether it was dark or light. When I came out before school in the morning to feed them, all I had to do was take an old Folgers coffee can, fill it about that full of grain, and rattle it, and they'd run over the top of me. They knew that sound. They'd become accustomed to it. I could have had rocks in that Folgers cup. They didn't care. They heard the sound, and they'd become accustomed to getting food from that. So in Isaiah chapter 1, I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, Sergi. Isaiah chapter 1, the scripture says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Now, he uses two of probably the least smart animals in the animal kingdom, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know what they consider a smart animal or a dumb animal. But oxen don't come across to me as highly trainable. They come across to me as kind of dopey. They're muscly, and they're great for pulling, but they're just kind of dopey. Just, woo, just got this thing around my neck, going to pull this plow through this field. Not extremely smart animals, but he said, even an ox, in all of its ignorance, knows who his master is. even an ox and all of his ridiculousness and his inability to speak and his inability to maybe even understand at times what's going on around him, even that dumb ox knows who it is that brings him a flake of alfalfa in the morning and drops it in his feed bin. He takes it a step further. Everybody knows how ridiculous donkeys are. Anybody here ever been around donkeys? Anybody spend time around donkeys? Those things, without proper training, even with proper training, they're untrustworthy. But even with proper training, now a mule's different than a donkey. Let's get this straight here. As people have mules, they use pack mules, great animals. Donkeys, worthless. Stubborn. Ignorant. My dad had a donkey when I was a little kid, and he used to take it to rodeos, and they'd ride it out in the arena. He'd get on its back and ride it out in the arena, and everybody thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was a little miniature donkey. I think it would run and run and run and run. People had no clue that he had no control over it. It just went where that donkey wanted to go. But he was smart enough to know that if he let him on his back and he let him out of the chute and he ran around the arena once and went back in the gate, there was some grain waiting for him back there. So he did whatever was asked of him. He knew his master's crib. He understood what was required of him. Animals get that figured out. I used to let my mom's chickens out all the time. Chickens are just dumb. Look at that little head. There's not much brain in there. It can't be. They're just dumb. They're worthless. Good for food, and that's about it. Laying eggs, providing chicken breast and wings and thighs. That's it. Them things, they just figured it out. Same thing, coffee can rattle. Man, the whole flock of them come running at you, run you over. They figure it out. They know. He's talking to the prophet here saying, even animals know who their master is. Even animals have the ability to figure out their master's voice. They know how to respond. Even animals can be taught through the process of time to respond to voice commands. They learn the voice of their master. It never ceased to amaze me. My dad had a truck growing up. It was a 77 Chevy pickup that had a lumber rack on it, and he had an aluminum ladder for his business that he strapped to that lumber rack. And we lived on a gravel road. If you've ever been around gravel roads, they're washboardy. After about, 6 months or so of nice clean road, it turns into a washboard and then everything rattles, driving down the road. Well, that ladder and that rack would jar. So you could hear Dad coming a mile away. If we were outside running around playing or whatever, you knew when he was coming. There are only 15, 20 cars a day drove him down that road, but you knew which one was Dad on his way home from work because you just started clang, 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 bang, 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 and all that stuff rattling on that truck all the way down those washboards. You know who else knew that? Our dog. He was this cocker spaniel, just a mutt. He was usually dirty and stinky and hair matted together because he lived outside. We lived in the country. That's how dogs were. That dog knew the sound of my dad's truck. He was smart enough to pick that one, to decipher that one out between other cars that drove up and down that road. Are you getting the picture here? God is talking to the prophet saying, my own people, my own chosen people don't have the ability to know my voice and to hear me and to know when it's me and when it's not me. But yet this ox over here knows who his master is, and this dog over here can understand his master's voice. And one of the reoccurring questions throughout my life and ministry from individuals has been, I'm just not sure what the will of God is for my life. And, I felt something the other day, but I'm not sure if it's God or not. Are you serious? I could see if you were a newborn babe in Christ, but even my 10-month-old son, when I say his name, he wheels his head around because he's already figured out at 10 months old who his dad is. He understands what his name is. He recognizes my voice at 10 months old. Why? Because it's repetition, and he hears it all the time, and it's become commonplace to him. It's nearly second nature to him. He hears Parker called all the time. Parker, 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 Parker. He hears his mom voice. He can literally be in one room with me and hear Kaylee talk in another room, and he's done. He's done with me, and he's ready to crawl to the next room to wherever she's at. He's figured that out at almost 11 months old. Why? Because of the repetition, the time he's spent with us. So I would ask you, if you can't hear the voice of God and you don't have the ability to decipher between the voice of God and other voices, then how much time are you spending with him? How often are you setting aside time to hear the voice of God? You know, when I call, I have about 30 or 40, 30, about 30, I think I'm down to like 35 or 36 clients right now. The vast majority of them, when I call them, I call their desk phone, no caller ID, they don't know who it is. I don't say, hey, so-and-so, this is Nick. I generally have the ability, because of 5 or 6 years of talking to these people, you know, once or twice a day, maybe a few times a week, they answer the phone, hi, this is so-and-so. Hey, man, how you doing? Oh, hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing? Why is that? They recognize my voice. Why is that? Why do they recognize my voice? Because we talk all the time. When my wife calls me and I don't know who it is, or maybe she calls from an unknown number, she goes, hey, Nick, I don't have to say, who's this? Do you have to say, who's this? You obviously don't talk enough. You haven't had enough communication one with another. If you still don't recognize their voice, you know, there's no worse feeling in the world than when somebody, I get a new client and somebody calls me out. I have done the unforgivable sin of not putting their name in my caller ID, and they call me like, hey, Nick, what's going on? I'm like, God, it's nothing. What's going on with you? I'm going, who is this? 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 The other day, I literally got through an entire conversation with a guy. I still don't know who it was. I answered his questions. I even gave him pricing, and I don't know who it was. That's scary. But you know what? As silly as that seems, when someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm just not sure if this is God or... You mean you didn't save his name in your caller ID? You haven't figured this out by now? Most of us here have been, there's most of us in the room today have been living for God for a little bit of time. We got a couple notches on our belt. I know these people and they know me. They recognize my voice because I spend time with them. And I would propose to you that the more time you spend with him, in the spirit, the more time you spend fellowshipping him, the more just normal the hearing of his voice becomes to you. And that struggle of who's this, who's this, who's this, who's this? You know, the only reason that we don't have as much of that anymore is because everybody has caller ID. Everybody knows who's calling them now. I want to take you to the New Testament now, John chapter 20. Well, actually, before we go there, let me read you. That was in the KJV. Let me read you Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. The scripture says there, the ox instinctively knows its owner and the donkey its master's feeding trough. But Israel does not know me. That does not know me as Lord. My people do not understand. The New Living Translation in verse 3 says it this way. Even an ox knows its owner and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel does not know its master. The YLT, the Young's Literal Translation says, an ox hath known its owner and an ass the crib of its master. Israel hath not known, my people hath not understood. He keeps saying the same thing. How do you not know me? How do you not understand who I am? How do you not understand my role and my place in your life? This is troubling to him. Now, to John chapter 10, New Testament. John chapter 10, verse 1. KJV. I'll let them catch up at the computer. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger, everybody say a stranger. Everybody say somebody they don't know. They will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Wait a minute. Somebody's calling for us, but I don't recognize that voice. There's not a witness of that voice in my spirit. I'm not following that voice. I'm not going to involve myself in the direction of that voice. I'm not going to pursue the direction that that voice is speaking about, because that voice is strange to me. It doesn't register with me. This parable spake Jesus unto them. I'm in verse 6 now. But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I, in verse 14, am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. New Living Translation says it this way: I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going in through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens a gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd, in verse 11. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep, and a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my own sheep and they know me. I ask you today, do you know him? Oh, I'm not saying, do you know about him? I'm talking about, do you know him? Do you know him in such a way that you recognize his voice? Amplified Bible. Sorry, all these translations say it differently. I like how each of them say it. Last one, Amplified Bible, chapter 10, verse 1. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up from some other place on the stone wall, that one is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, the protector and provider. The doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. The sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. I'm telling you something, when the Lord takes time to speak to me, I want to hear every single word he has to say. every morning when I arise, I begin to spend time with him, fellowshipping him, and he begins to talk to me, and I begin to feel his presence, and I begin to get direction for my life, and direction for my family, and direction for the church, and direction for my job, and all of these things that I'm seeking him about. I want to stay there, and I want to soak it in, and sometimes I'll grab a notepad and start writing notes, because I don't want to forget these things. I want to adhere to them. I want to know this stuff. This is why I'm in relationship with him, because I want to get to know him. I want to get to know him in such a way that even at just the softest whisper of his voice, I know it's him. There's never a question of who's on the other end of the line. But when he rings, when he touches, when he nudges and begins to speak, I know of a surety that it's him. And I can say, yes, 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 I'm here. Talk, I want to listen. I'm skipping down. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but the hired man who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he deserts the flock and runs away, and the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The man runs because he's a hired hand who serves only for wages and is not concerned about the safety of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Remember I said in the beginning about mediums and all these opportunities? Everybody's writing books nowadays. Everybody's an author. And these guys aren't authoring books because they got some great message they're trying to get. They're trying to get rich. And I'm telling you right now that the majority of them are thieves and robbers. They're not writing the voice of God. The Bible says that this is the word of God, this app. That holy men of God spake and wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. And so if I'm reading something, I'm not talking about, I enjoy books. I enjoy good books. Don't get me wrong. I read all kinds of books. But if I try to be very careful about books I read concerning church and the Bible. And if anything I read doesn't line up and doesn't fit within the pages of the book, what I'm saying by that, when I say that doesn't line up with the word of God, I'm saying that's a voice that I don't recognize. That's a thief. That's a robber. That's somebody who's not coming in via the door. He's climbing over the wall. And you know how I know that? Because I've witnessed people who read that stuff that's been written for money. In contrast and contrary to the word of God. And I've watched it take good people away from truth. Stolen by the voice of the enemy via a written book that, oh man, I want to do, you see, it, this is good stuff. This guy, he's got a church of 6 million people. I should read his book. He's doing something right. Ridiculous. Get in the book. I know this probably isn't what you want to hear. He said, my sheep know my voice. That voice is clear, it's precise, it doesn't bring confusion. That voice doesn't say, well, this is what I think, and this is what I did, and this is how I'm doing it, and this is how we did it. That's not what that voice says. That voice was very clear in the book of Acts chapter 1, all the way to the end of it, on how he built his church, on the church that you and I are a part of and his intentions for that church. Now, don't get offended. Don't go home and throw all your books away. Don't clean out your library. I'm just saying you better listen to the voice. If the voice from what you're reading is in conflict with what you know the voice of God is in your life, then you better close it up and put it back on the shelf and say, that was a really nice gift from someone. I think I'll move along. But he's talking about this idea of this voice. I'll finish reading now. Verse 14, last verse. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me. That's how my sheep know me, he says. They have a deep personal relationship with me. I think I was thinking about this morning, and all these memories started flooding back to me. But you think about David, and the scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart, and God had such a passion for David. He loved David, and David would pen the words that we all know so well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to lie down. All of these things, how in the world, via this scripture, brings some understanding, but how in the world would all of that happen unless he knew the voice of God, unless he knew what the voice of God was, what it sounded like? He's talking about his shepherd. Was David talking prophetically in Psalm 23? No, he was talking from a position of someone who had a relationship with God. He was talking from a position of someone who knew when it was the voice of God and God saying, hey, you, come here. Hey, you, go here. Hey, you, I've got a table prepared for you here. Hey, you, go do this. Hey, you, go do that. He was in such relationship. And then Jesus confirms, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus confirms it. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And my sheep know me. Do you know him? Oh, I know that we say we know him. I know that we think we know him. But do you really know him? Do you know him in such a way that when he speaks, you know it's him? Can you answer that question today for yourself? Do you want to know him that way? Is that the depth of relationship that you want with him? You see, sometimes it's easier to know him through someone else's relationship. There's all kinds of people who've always got a word for somebody, Brother Chamberlain. Always got a word. I text someone the other day and I said, man, I'm praying for you. I hope things are going good. You know, just thinking about you. And his response was, things are going good, man. But if you ever get a word for me, feel free to share it. I'm thinking, what about you getting a word for you? What about you hearing from God for yourself? But you see, we've sometimes created a culture of scenarios where it's easier to rely on Brother Heiner's relationship with God and his ability to hear from God and his ability to pray over me and maybe speak a word over me. And, oh, thank God he knows about me. That's easier than me waiting night and day, week in and week out, month in and month out for my own answer and for me to hear the voice of God for myself. What is it that your family is supposed to be doing? What is it that you're supposed to be doing on your job and your employment? What is it that you're supposed to be doing in any aspect of your life? Do you know? A few weeks ago, my wife and I were dealing with some scenarios. And everybody remember when the Simpsons were here? I shared this with Brother Chamberlain in the prayer room last Sunday. My wife and I had been faced with some things, and I'd been seeking the Lord, and I had very, very clear direction. I had the Lord had told me exactly what I was supposed to do, and I did it. And it was not popular. In fact, it was the furthest thing from popular with some folks. That's always the hardest time to trust that you heard the voice of God too. God told me, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then, did God really tell me that or not? Let's see. All this doubt. This is why you got to know him. This is why you got to know his voice. Because there's always going to be other voices. Are you sure that was the voice? Did God really tell you to do that? Are you sure? Well, you know, I feel like, and I think, it's all, every single one of those things, they're fiery darts from the enemy. Every time you get that question, it's a fiery dart at your mind. Fiery dart at your mind. And that bombardment starts to weigh on you after a while. And then you go and you walk away and you're going, maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe I did make that up. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe I'm the one with the problem. I'd had one of those weeks. I made some very clear decisions. The Lord had spoken to me, and this doesn't happen very often that the Lord handles it this way. But the Lord has spoken to me. I made the decisions, moved on with my life. But man, I was starting to, my mind was like a battlefield. It's like, pew, pew, pew. It's like an ISIS attack. RPGs. We came to church on Sunday morning, and Sister Simpson got up to greet the congregation. She wasn't speaking that morning. And she looked over at us. She said, "The Lord told me in prayer this morning." Those of you who are here know exactly what she said. That was exact confirmation that I needed. And I hadn't spoke to her. We'd spent maybe 10 minutes with them in 3 days. She didn't know anything about me, anything about my situations. They'd been on the east side of the state. But it only served. The Lord used that moment to confirm to me. Yeah, it was my voice. Yeah, you know me. Don't let the voice of doubt, don't let the voice from the other side of the sheepfold that's trying to come up the wall, don't let that voice distract you. Don't let that voice bring doubt to the direction that came through the door of the sheepfold. He said, the intention, somebody's got to hear this today. The intention of the voice that doesn't come by the door. There's only one intention for it. He's a thief and a robber. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's that voice. That's the only purpose of that voice. So if you're dealing with voices and you got all this confusion and you're not sure which is the voice of God and all these things, just think about the direction for a minute. If whatever direction you're feeling, quote unquote, that is from God, if it's going to bring some destruction, potential destruction to your life spiritually, that's not the voice of God. His voice brings life. See, the voice of God brings peace. The voice of God brings contentment to a situation that's stormy. The voice of God just calms all my fears and all my anxieties and all the things that are uncertainties that are surrounding me. And I'm wondering what to do. But when the voice of God becomes clear, it just and no different than he did with the disciples on the sea. Peace be still. It may be different for your life, but it's no different than that in my life. I'll give you an example. We talk a lot about walking in the Spirit around here, and we practice a lot walking in the Spirit. We put it to practice. We don't just talk about it. We practice it, right? All of us. Nobody excluded. So sometimes, you know, you're supposed to speak on Wednesday night. And it's 7:00, and we're all up here praying. I don't still got anything to say. Wait a minute, let's see. What did I say 2 years ago, 6 days? Yeah, I could probably say it again, no one would remember it. That'll work. Yeah, that'll work. I'm just kidding. Those are seasons of time, and that's not just happened in this room. I mean, that's happened outside of this room. And it's very unnerving. In fact, sometimes I get very upset with God about that. This isn't fair. Why are you doing this to me? But I'm telling you, Brother Cool, in that moment of time when he speaks and he gives you the word, there's such a calm and a peace. I mean, just that quick. Such a calm. calm and a peace comes over the situation. Such a calm and a peace comes over my life because I know, all right, I got the word. That's it. I know what I'm supposed to say. I'm not saying any more. I'm not saying any less. It's what he gave me to say. And there's such a peace in that. I'm using that as an example, but it's that is applicable to every single situation or scenario in your life. What am I supposed to do about this? What am I supposed to do about that? And man, anxiety can build and uncertainty can build and fear can build and it becomes almost a volcanic eruption in our lives of what to do, how to do, and then when he speaks that word and gives that direction, and I know it's him. Just peace comes to the whole thing. It's like this volcano bubbling inside the mountain. And when his peace comes, it just settles. That's what the voice of God has the ability to do in your life on an everyday basis. The reason it doesn't, the only reason it wouldn't, is because I don't yet know him in such a way that I recognize his voice. And you can only get to that place by spending time with him. Spending time with him. I'm closing. Musicians can come. I wouldn't trade anything in this world for the ability to know when the Lord is speaking to me and when it's another voice. Because just because you learn to hear the voice of God doesn't mean all those other voices quiet down. Just because you spend so much time with him and fellowshipping him that you know when it's him that's talking doesn't mean that those other people stop talking. It doesn't mean that the voice doesn't try to come over the side of the sheepfold every now and then, chime in. I've purposed over the last couple of months, you got to do what you do for you. Whatever works for you, you do it. This isn't me telling you what to do. You do whatever works for you. But I've had to try to spend as much time praying in the Spirit as I possibly can humanly stand. Because it's only in those moments that it's like everything else just becomes quiet. You see, when I'm praying with my understanding and I'm telling God about all these problems, see, Paul said to the church, he said, when I'm praying in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. That's good for me because my mind can go crazy when it's fruitful. That's not often, but when it's fruitful, my mind can go crazy. I can think up all kinds of things and I can, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm praying, God, do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get him that way. God, do this. And why not? While you're doing that, do this over here. Then I get up, I'm like, oh man. And what'd you have to say today? Hold that thought, because I gotta go. I need my understanding to be unfruitful in prayer because I want to hear his voice. And I don't need his voice passing through here. I don't need it passing through here, because when it passes through here is when I start questioning everything. So when I start trying to make sense of everything, well, that's not going to work. Well, what's so-and-so going to think about that? And how are they going to respond to this? That wasn't what he said. That wasn't what he asked me to do. He asked me to act upon his word. Why don't you stand? Each of your relationships with him are at different dimensions and levels today. Be at different places tomorrow. Some of you are going through storms today that are embattling you. Some of you are on the mountaintop spiritually and things are going awesome for you, and you're in a great place with God right now, and you're in daily fellowship with Him. And some of you are in places right now, you're in valleys, and you're not in valleys because you and God are at odds. You've just been busy. And you know today that you haven't been spending the time fellowshipping Him like He desires to. You know that because you know there was a season of time in your life where you got up and maybe whatever your routine was, but you knew the Lord was waiting for you when you began to communicate with Him. And it was like He met you there in that moment, and you experienced that. And so you only know today, it's not guilt or condemnation that's telling you, you're not where you need to be with God today. No, that's not what it's saying. You only know that because you know what it is to be in that deep, intimate place with Him of fellowship. And you know that right now, things have been crazy. Summer's been absolutely nuts. You know what it is. You know what the scenario is that's playing out. And so I haven't been in a place of fellowship with Him. I haven't enjoyed that intimacy with Him that I need to. Can I use a natural example for a second? With a couple of toddlers in the house, there's not a whole lot of time for me and my wife to have a whole lot of adult conversation. Sometimes you gotta pull away, go on a date, so you can talk without somebody saying, Dad, she's killing me. Uninterrupted. When's the last time you went on a date with God and God just pulled away? I understand the busyness can overwhelm us. And we only know that it's overwhelming us because we know what it is to be in that intimacy with Him. All of these scenarios were represented in the room today. All of them. People at the high, people at the low, people connected, people disconnected. They're all represented here today. And so each of you uniquely has to find a way. Whether you're on the mountaintop and you're plugged in and you and Him are talking all day, every day, and it's like nonstop fellowship. It's like He rides in the car with you and it's like your old buddy sitting there and you're just talking to the Lord and He talks back to you and you're just, or whether you're not even sure you know how to hear the voice of God. You're not sure if you've ever heard the voice of God in your life. From those two spectrums, I want us right now all across the room to reach out to Him and just begin to fellowship with Him. Don't tell him how sorry you are about how MIA you've been in your fellowship and your relationship with Him. Just begin to fellowship Him. He wants to know you. That's why He told them in the New Testament, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father which art in heaven. He wants you to know right off the bat when you start your relationship tie to Him, His intimacy with you. You know who He is and the role He plays in your life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it, just fellowship Him. Just fellowship Him. Some are connecting right now. Some are connecting right now.
Come
Stir up the passion, Father. Stir up the passion. Renew it in me once again that once burned for communication and fellowship with you. Stir it up in me again, the desire that once burned to hear your voice. Take me back, Lord, to that place one more time. Once again to that place where I knew your voice because of the time and hour spent with you. Hirondo sondo romuria la 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 bacaya da ha. Hirondo sondo romuria la 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 bahaye. Ikaya rondo sia naranda yara la la bahaye. That's it. That's it. This is fellowship. This is fellowship with the Lord. This is fellowship with His presence. This is fellowship that brings His voice. This is how you get to know Him. This is how you know it's His voice talking. Hirondo sondo rororo moria rabahaye. Hirondo rondo sondo rondo rororo mokia babaha. Hirondo sondo rondo rororo mosianaye. Ina randa yararara moria rabakaya naha. Hirondo siana randa yararara moria naya ki. Hibalororo mosiana rabasanda yararara baha. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hikaya rondo ria la 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 mashanda ya la 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 bahaye. Hiro rondo se anarande ya la 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 mashanda la la bokuba. Hirondo sondo rondo ria na ya la 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 baha. Hirondo sorondo ria na ya la 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 bahaye. It's got to be more than just tagging in on Sunday with Him. I got to stay in contact. I got to reach out and stay in contact on a daily basis with Him, on an hourly basis with Him. I need to stay plugged in. I want to stay in fellowship with Him all day, every day. Hirondo sorondo riana ya la 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 bahaye. Hirondo rondo sondo rondo riana ya la 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 bahaye. Hirondo sorondo riana ya la 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 bahaye. There's a drawing in the room right now. There's a drawing if you'll yield yourself to it. There's a drawing if you'll yield yourself to it. Gift of God that is in you that was put there by the laying on of hands. The reason Paul said that he knew the gift was there, because if you go read 1 Timothy, they laid hands on Timothy and there was an impartation. There were spiritual giftings that were imparted to Timothy. So he had the ability and the confidence to say in 2 Timothy chapter 1 or 2, whichever it is, stir up the gift of God that's in you. I know it's there. I'm not prophesying this, Timothy. I was there, laid hands on you, it was there, it was given you. I have witnessed in this room among individuals the dimension of prayer, the spirit of prayer, dimensions of prayer that we've talked about today. Fellowship, intimate fellowship with God. I have witnessed that dimension of prayer in individuals, many individuals in this room today. And so I can say without any hesitation, I'm not being prophetic and saying, there's a spirit of gifting of prayer. No, what needs to happen is there needs to be a stirring up of the giftings that are already there. There have been many moments of time where there were giftings that were imparted individuals, giftings in prayer, intercession, fellowship with God that were imparted into this room. But just by the process of time and busyness of life, they go dormant. But we're going to pray again right now. And I want you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Paul told Timothy, you got to do this. You got to stir it up. I already did it once. It was already imparted once. Now it's your turn. You need to stir it up. That means something completely different for each of you. But would you do that right now as we take a few more minutes in fellowship with Him? If you know that there are giftings that have been imparted to you that are lying dormant, giftings in prayer, intercession, things that you've not given yourself to for a while, you know they're dormant, would you ask the Lord right now to stir those things up in you? Would you give yourself yourself to that gifting right now in the name of Jesus. Hirondo shikaranda yalalalabahaye.